Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert bringing a series of messages on the subject, getting ready for Christmas. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready and turn to Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse number 1, as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Sit down. Preach. Preach. Preach is right.
See, I can easily say that I hadn't went out on my wife when I'm around other men. But the test is when you start putting them fine mama jammers. When you, that's the test. Now, let's see how much power I got to say no when temptation come my way.
That's right.
See, these rich folks, that's why I thank God that I don't have too much money.
Amen.
Because sometimes you can have so much money that after you done paid all your bills, because you got so much money, you can just splurge and use your money any kind of way. But see, when you poor, I'm talking about with just one O in the word poor. Certain temptation you don't even think about. You don't think about spending money on another woman because you got to take care of this one. Y'all praying for me up in the house of the Lord. Verse 2, it says they covered fields, they take them by violence and the houses, and they take them away so that they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. These folks, they plot, they plan on their bed, they get up in the morning time to see about taking somebody else's house, taking somebody else's field. In other words, they live by the mentality, the more the merry. And they had a Malcolm X mentality, by any means necessary.
Wow.
If it means I got to step on somebody to get what I want, I'll just step on it. If it means I got to kick somebody to the curb to get what I want, I'll kick them to the curb. If it means I got to spit on somebody to get what I want, if it means I got to lie, cheat, steal, however I need to do, by any means necessary, I'm willing to do it in order that I can have what I want out of life. God says, that's being injustice. What I want to see, I want to see some justice. See, Christian people need to understand what justice is. Too many of us think that justice is just us.
Preacher, Pastor, you own it right there.
Justice is bigger than just us. It's more than just us black folks. It's more than just white folks. It includes everybody. Uh-huh. Red, yellow, black, and white. Everybody is precious in God's eyesight. That's justice. We gotta think more than just us two, and that'll do three or four, and that's, we can close the door on that. No, we gotta think bigger than that. And we gotta become all inclusive. I can see why God chose Joseph, because the Bible says that Joseph was a just man. You know, when you are a just person, you live by the golden rule.
All right, now,
you do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. So Joseph didn't want to do Mary wrong, even though he could have done her wrong, because he thought that she had done him wrong.
Right.
But see, Mama said somewhere, two wrongs
don't make a right.
Don't make a right.
All right.
And so if we're going to give God what he wants for Christmas, then we must be people that will practice justice. But number 2, we must love mercy. We must love mercy. He says, but to do justly and to love mercy. That's what God wants to see. God wants to see his people love. Listen, how do you know you saved? A lot of people say the way folks don't know that I'm saved, I'm speaking in tongues. That ain't how we know you saved.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one of the signs that I know you saved is not that you can speak in tongues, but you can hold your tongue. That's, you got to be holy. You got to have some love in your heart. We see too many folks come to church and they praise God on the inside of the church and get out in the parking lot and curse you out. Say it not so, Pastor.
That ain't so, Pastor.
We need to have some love, but also have some mercy with it.
Yeah.
In other words, don't give a person what they deserve. The punishment that they deserve.
Wow.
That's what mercy is. You know how it is. Don't act like you don't know what mercy is. When your mama caught you doing wrong and she got ready to wear you out with a switch, oh, y'all ain't feeling me. With a belt, y'all still ain't feeling me. With a extension cord, now you're feeling me. When you saw her bring out the extension cord, you say, please, 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 please. Folks thought it was a new James Brown song. Please, please, please. What did you want? You was my mama to have mercy. You didn't want her to give you what you really deserve. You wanted her to hold back on giving you what you rightfully deserve. That's what God said. God says, I want you, even though that person done wrong, I want you to hold back on giving them the punishment that they deserve. Again, I can see why God called Joseph, because the law said if a woman had committed adultery, then that person was supposed to be stoned. And Joseph tried to come up with a private way of putting her away because he didn't want her to get what she rightfully deserved. He didn't want her to be stoned to death and made a public example. Yeah. So he tried to put her away privately.
Yeah.
In other words, he didn't want everybody downtown to know their business.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are worse enemy.
Yeah.
The reason folks on the outside of our house know what's going on the inside of our house is because we done told folks outside our house all our business. But if you practice some loving with some mercy, won't nobody downtown know your business. We got to practice some love with some mercy. I'm reminded a little girl, teenage girl, came home one day and she said, Mama, Mama, do you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? She said, yes, I believe in the virgin birth. She said, do you believe that Mary got pregnant without Joseph? The virgin birth. She said, yes. She said, do you believe God brought forth a virgin birth in Mary? Say, yeah, I believe it. She said, do you believe God can do that again?
Uh-huh. It ain't so. I know where you're going, Pastor. I know where you're going.
What was that little girl saying?
Mama.
She wanted some mercy. Somebody called it. Somebody called it. That little girl had got caught with a dress up, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And she needed some
mercy.
And some love.
Yes, sir. Mercy, brother.
Y'all going with me? I'm going to have to go by myself.
Come on, Pastor.
Love, mercy. Third thing, walk humbly with God. Walk humbly. God wants his people to walk humbly with him. He wants his people, number one, to do justly. Number two, love mercy. But then number three, to walk humbly with God. The problem with God's people is God's people don't walk humbly with God. As a matter of fact, these people, when you read the book of Micah, they weren't even walking with God. Yeah. See, when you read chapter 1, the Bible tells us in Micah chapter 1 that they was walking after idol gods. Yeah. They was walking after false gods. They was running after the gods of the world. They had turned their back even on God. They weren't even walking at all with God. And that's still the problem today. And a lot of folks don't want to walk with God because they are high-minded rather than humble-minded. Did y'all hear me today? I say a lot of folks that don't want to walk with God is because they high-minded rather than humble-minded. But if you want God to really use you, you got to become humble-minded and not high-minded. Vance Havler, an old country preacher, he said that you got to be big enough and become little enough where God can use you enough.
Right, yeah, that's good.
You got to become big enough so you can become little enough where God can use you. Oh, I don't know if y'all feeling that. See, sometimes we are too big for God to use us.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I'm talking about. See, sometimes we see ourselves as a somebody. And as long as you see yourself as a somebody, you won't be able to help anybody. You got to see yourself as a nobody. And once you see yourself as a nobody, God can use you to help anybody. Oh, I know I'm right. Don't you remember Moses? See, as long as Moses had his eyes on becoming the next Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, then God couldn't use him. Why? Because he saw himself as a somebody and everybody else was just nobodies. But Moses had to come to the place in his life of seeing that he had climbed the ladder of success, but his ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. Oh, yeah. In other words, Moses saw that he had to become big enough and then become little enough so that God could use them. What Moses had to do, he had to make a big decision. That's what I'm talking about, big enough. A lot of times people, they done climbed the wrong ladder, but they don't want to think big enough to come down. See, it takes a big person to admit failure. It takes a big person to admit, I've been going the wrong way. Moses had been going the wrong way for 40 years. Moses had to become big enough that it can become little enough where God can use him enough. Oh, yeah, once Moses came down, God put Moses on the backside of the desert 40 years. And then one day God called Moses out of a burning bush and said, Moses, come on, Moses, I can use you now. But Moses said, Lord, I can't even talk. He said, but I need you to go and talk to Pharaoh. He said, but what armor? I ain't got nothing. I ain't got no money. I ain't got nothing. He said, what you got in your hand? He said, I got a stick in my hand. He said, that's good enough. I can use you now.
Amen.
It's Moses had to become big enough, little enough, so that God could use him. Mm-hmm. Come here, Gideon. God, what do you want with me? Yeah. I come from the smallest tribe, Benjamin.
Yeah.
I come from the Lilith family. As a matter of fact, I'm the littlest one in the family. In other words, I'm the least of the least of the least. In other words, I'm just a zero. God said, good deal. I can take a zero and turn him into a hero. I can use you now. Come here, Mary. Come here, Joseph. God, what do you want with us? We're just poor people there in Galilee. God said, I can use you. I can take poor folks and make them rich folks by putting my spirit in them and using them the way that I see fit. In other words, I'm going to take a nobody and I'm going to turn them into somebody that they can help anybody. Oh, isn't that how God works? Yes. But see, you got to be big enough and then come down and see yourself little enough where God can use you enough. Oh, and that's how Jesus had to even think. See, when Jesus was there in heaven, Jesus thought big enough that he became little enough that God could use him to save the whole world.
Yeah.
What is I'm talking about? Jesus was the one that made man. He became a man in order to save man.
Uh-huh.
He was big enough, come little enough, that he can help folks enough.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says the only way God can use us, we got to have a humble mentality.
Yes, sir.
That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who was in the very form of God, did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of a man, then found in the fashion of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Isn't God a good God? You got to become big enough, become little enough, so that God can use you, that you can walk humbly with God. What do God want for Christmas? God don't want no new choir robes. What do God want for Christmas? God don't want no new Bibles. What do God want for Christmas? He don't want no new hymn books. What do God want for Christmas? He don't want no new pulpit. What do God want for Christmas? He don't want no new furniture in his house. What do God want for Christmas? He want to see some new people living a brand new life. That's what he wants for Christmas. He want to see somebody that do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. As I come to a close, one of my favorite TV shows at Christmas time is Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
I know it's one of y'all's too.
Oh, yeah.
I like Charlie Brown because they was getting ready to have a Christmas program. And they asked Charlie Brown to go and get the Christmas tree. You remember Charlie Brown, he went and he was shopping and he was looking at all these trees and he passed over all of these nice looking trees and he found this one looking poor,
yeah, that poor tree.
Raggedy, humble looking tree.
Yeah.
And he brought that tree back. And when the Charlie Brown gang, when everybody saw that poor-looking, ugly-looking Christmas tree, everybody got upset with Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe that Charlie Brown would go and get a tree like that. Something that ugly, something that scrunchy, something that was so humble-looking tree. Why would Charlie Brown get a tree like that? Matter of fact, they even started pointing at Charlie Brown. Matter of fact, Lucy said, you blockhead Charlie Brown.
Blockhead Charlie.
They was pointing at Charlie Brown and pointing at the tree. And for a couple of days, everybody was just talking about Charlie Brown. They were just talking about that old, ugly-looking Christmas tree. In other words, they just spent the next couple of days talking about that person, Charlie Brown, and talking about the problem, the Christmas tree. But Charlie Brown, the reason he chose the tree, he said, you know, if we would just really take some time and put a little love on this tree, I think it can make out a pretty good Christmas tree. But wasn't nobody feeling Charlie Brown at that time. But later on, Lucy came back and looked at the tree. The gang came back and looked at the tree, and Lucy said, you know, maybe this tree could work for us if we show this tree a little bit love. If we give it a little time and put our talent, put some treasures with it, I believe that we can make this tree look a whole lot better. And rather than point at Charlie Brown, the person, rather than point at the problem, rather than talking about the problem, the gang rolled up their sleeve and they started working on the problem. And once they put their hands together and start decorating that Christmas tree, they took something ugly and made something beautiful out of it. What happened? The tree changed because they changed.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And they stood back and they had something to sing about. Let me tell you something. God sends stuff into your life. Just like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It's something that you didn't go out there and choose. You didn't pick it. You didn't really want to claim that. But if you would just accept what God done sent into your life, and rather than talking about the problem and pointing at the problem, if you would just roll up your sleeve and start working on the problem, God can take something ugly and make it beautiful in your life. And you will see your problem change when you change.
Amen.
And then that's what Christmas is all about. That's how folks know that Jesus done came. Not when they see presents under the tree, but they know Jesus done came when they see a new attitude in your life. That's why they stood back and started singing, didn't they? Hark to Harold, angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. We ought to praise him today. Amen. For the change in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. What you want for Christmas. You don't want some for your church. You don't want toys like a lot of folks want some toys or clothes, even money. What you want to see some new attitudes. Lord, let the new attitudes start even with me. Touch all of our hearts. Touch all of our minds, Lord, that we can believe.
If you would like a copy of the message you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinabook.com. Again, that is alookinabook.com. And come on and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And until next time, let's take a look in the book.